And you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. In just a moment, we're going to have the ushers come up, but I'm going to ask Pastor Brandon and Sarah to come up here real quick. Pastor Brandon and Sarah. Why don't you give it up for Pastor Brandon and Sarah real quick. Sarah, I'll hug you in just a minute. I'm not leaving you out, but here, come right on up here, guys. In case you don't know, it is my unfortunate duty to just acknowledge Brandon and Sarah. This is the last Sunday that they're going to be on staff with us here at the church. And I knew the second I met Pastor Brandon, I knew that he had a call and an anointing on his life. And I think within 1 hour, we were already talking, Pastor Brandon, about the fact that God had called you to be a worship pastor at some point in time. And we had those conversations early. It was evident to me that Brandon and his wife have an anointing and a call in their life. And we get to now see them take that step of faith as they're accepting a new position in Reno as a worship pastor at a church. And so we're going to honor them today and pray over them and bless them. It's one of the bittersweet things about being in church is you often get good staff for just brief seasons of life as they find promotion. And promotion's a good thing, friends. Amen. Promotion and advancement come from the Lord. And so, Pastor Brandon, we acknowledge as your church body, the anointing on you and Sarah to continue to follow the Lord's call in your life. And with regret, I have to say goodbye. And I know I speak for the church on our behalf. You guys have served well. We love you. We're proud of you. And we want to pray for you. We have, just so you know, church, you have, by your faithful giving, allowed the board of directors and the board of elders to gift them some money on the way out. And money talks. Amen. And so I don't have the check with me in person, but here it is, imaginary. You can give it to Sarah because we know she's going to get that anyway. But what we're really here to do is just pray for them. And so if you, with me, before we take the offering, would just maybe stretch a hand forward in agreement. Pastor Brandon and Sarah, I want to pray for you. They will not be with us next service because they're ministering to the young people, but they're here now. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the call that you've put on Pastor Brandon and Sarah. I thank you that you've given us time to partner together, to rub elbows in ministry here in the valley. But we know that you have promoted this family. We know that you are calling them into new seasons and new endeavors for you. And I pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that your anointing and your companionship and your Holy Spirit would cover them in every direction. I pray for blessing and favor. And we pray in the name of Jesus that they would find quick reception from the hearts of the people in that body, that they would be warm to welcome them, and that your anointing would flow through them as it has here and bless the ministry of their hands. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, Brandon. We love you guys. We love you, Sarah. Love you guys. Thank you. Let's give it up one more time for Pastor Brandon and Sarah. I told Pastor Brandon when I first met him, ushers, you can come down. We're going to take the offering here at this time. But I told Brandon when I first met him, I said, you have the best last name. I have last name envy, like I can't even communicate. So my last name is Earwood. That's cool. His is Savage, which is so savage anyway. John, I knew you would have got it for me. All right, let's move forward here. We're going to pray, and I'm going to say just one thing before we move now into a time of giving. We thank you for your generous giving here at the church, friends. And if you're visiting with us, maybe your mom dragged you through the doors of the church or you're just checking things out. We don't want you to feel any compulsion to give. We don't want you to feel under the pressure to give this morning, all right? This is for those of us who call this church our home church. And then if it is your home church, I'm going to encourage you to give generously because God loves a generous, cheerful giver. Amen. Let's pray, ask God to bless the finances of the church, and then we got a quick video that we're going to roll and get into the message. Father, we thank you that we can give back to you. We give in reciprocation to your generosity, and we give by way of finance and tithe and offering, and we ask you to bless the finances of this church. Give us as leaders wisdom in how to steward the finances of the church in a way that advances the gospel message of Jesus Christ. In your name we pray, believing together, amen and amen. Enjoy this brief video. Thank you. is my joy and privilege to kick off the new series, the summer series that we're getting into this morning. It's going to carry us for about 8 weeks into the summer, and we're going to be moving through the book of 1 Peter. It's in the New Testament, and you can turn there and just kind of hold your place. I'm going to set up the text this morning with some conversation as this is the launch message into the series. But say with me, rock solid. Rock solid. I want to tell you this morning that the rock solid foundation to this life is the person of Jesus Christ. We told you we love you enough to tell you the truth, and we believe the truth is the person of Jesus Christ. It is not a set of rules. It is not a set of religious concepts or philosophies. It is simply the person in the fullness and the embodiment of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to be moving through the book of 1 Peter verse by verse for the next 8 weeks or so. And the reason that we do that in the summer is because traditionally in the summer is when people start taking vacations and attendance begins to drop in the church. And we know the people who show up are those who are hungry for the meat. Can somebody say meat? For the word of God. So we're going to be bringing it verse by verse through the book of 1 Peter. I'll say just by way of introduction, I'm going to encourage you over the next couple days to just read the book of 1 Peter, to just read it and put it in your heart. Let the Holy Spirit minister to you through the book of 1 Peter in your own personal reading, in your own personal quiet time. Amen. So say with me, rock solid. Are you guys awake? Are you ready? I'm so ready. I'm so ready. I feel like it's been a while since I've been up here, and you guys are going to be dealing with me a lot this summer. Please don't leave now that you know that, all right? But, you know, I remember the words of my father very, very, very clearly. And some of you had a dad like mine, and his voice was like thunder. He had one of these voices where he didn't need to try, and it just, it just carried. I've been told I have a voice that carries. I can't whisper. I can't tell secrets. Anybody in the room? You know, like, dude, we can hear you on the other side of the house. And I'm like, how is that possible? Well, your voice just carries. Well, my father's voice carried. It was one of these voices, a big man. 6'3", was a bass baritone, and one of these days I'll be a real man and be a bass baritone, but that's the way it was. But I can remember my father's voice and his words so clearly when I was in trouble or maybe I had done something that I shouldn't have done, and he would say this. He would say, "Who do you think you are?" And I'm telling you, I could be like 6 miles away, and I'd be like, "I'm your son." He would say, "Who do you think you are?" And it would make me pause for fear of life, amongst other things. But I'd stop, and it would make me calculate what I was doing. "Who do you think you are?" he would say. If I ever began to speak back to him, which God is my witness, and he would say this, I have never once in my life had an argument with my father. Because I'm not stupid. Some of you have that father as well, okay? But sometimes he would ask me this question. He would say, "Who do you think I am, son?" And let me tell you something. In case I wasn't your dad, you don't want that conversation with by the person of the Holy Spirit from God, is that Jesus is the Messiah. And Jesus tells us today that upon the rock of the awareness of the Holy Spirit in you, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. I will build my church, and upon that truth, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Glory to God. I'm ready to preach. The words of Jesus spoken to Peter are spoken to us today, and I'm here to declare over the church this morning that the gates of hell cannot stand up against the authority of the words of Christ that are spoken into us. I'm here to declare to the church this morning that you might have something in your life that needs to be punched in the face, and the authority and the words of Jesus are punching that in the face this morning and saying, no, I am more powerful than your issue. You're in the right place this morning. I'm ready to preach. I'm going to have to stick to my notes, Pastor Chris. If you haven't already, turn your Bible to 1 Peter. We're going to begin reading in a few minutes. Jesus' words carry authority. Jesus recognized the Holy Spirit in Peter, recognized that only God revealed to Peter, by the way of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus was the Messiah, because Jesus had not told his people or anybody yet that he was the Messiah. He was waiting for God to reveal it through the Holy Spirit into people. He did not walk around saying, I am the salvation plan. It was come by the Holy Spirit. And what I want to suggest to you this morning is this, that Peter is recognized both in Scripture and by the mouth of Jesus Christ as being somebody who's full of wisdom and full of somebody who's inspired by the Holy Spirit. And he's going to pen for us a couple of epistles, a couple of books in the New Testament. And we're going to read it in just a second. But I want to give you some background on Peter, because we're going to spend 8 weeks talking about Peter. So get out your little pens, get out your little notebooks, take some notes if you want to. Otherwise, sit back and relax, because I got about 5 more minutes of introduction. I hope that's okay. But Peter is known for getting it all right and getting it all wrong. If you've read your Bibles, you know that Peter is not given authority by God because he always gets it right. Glory to God. Amen. He's given authority by God because he's seeking truth. He's leaning into the truth of the Holy Spirit. And Peter is known as a guy who gets it all right or all wrong. Peter gets it so right, in fact, that he walks on water. I just need to let that sink in. But he was far from perfect. He also sank in the water, but he did walk on water. He cut off a dude's ear. Peter wasn't perfect, but he was used by God because he was seeking and leaning into the truth, the person of Jesus. And Peter becomes known, he's the first known mega pastor, the mega church pastor, following Christ's death and resurrection. And he's recorded in Acts chapter 2, is opening his mouth, and the Holy Spirit fills him with this amazing message. And 3,000 people come to know Jesus because of one message. That's amazing, even by today's technological standards. So let me just say it again. 3,000 people respond to Peter, who's full of the Holy Spirit, full of God. Jesus has already said, blessed are you, Peter. You're aware of knowledge that only God could reveal. So Peter is carrying credibility. He's carrying weight. He's carrying authority. Are you with me this morning? Peter was used by God powerfully to perform miracles. There are recordings in the New Testament of him walking by people, and just his shadow was full of the presence of God and healed lame men, and crippled people got up and walked away because of Peter's shadow was so full of the presence of God. Peter was used by God powerfully, and Peter led his family to Jesus Christ. It is written and recorded, and this speaks volumes to me, but it wasn't just Peter who had seen the person of Jesus and recognized his lordship, but he led his family, men, to Jesus. Peter's wife was crucified alongside him. Let me just say that again, because I know what I'm willing to go through for Jesus. But when you start talking about my family, parents, when your children start getting criticized for their faith, are you going to let it and let them count it all joy when they suffer trials and tribulations and persecution? Or are you going to get in the way? And Peter let his wife get crucified. I don't know if it was alongside him, but for her faith in Jesus Christ. This man was confident in the Lord of Jesus Christ. He was confident in the truth of who Jesus was and who he claimed he said he was. But he led his family to Christ. Amen. And Peter spearheaded the apostles and is the first apostle mentioned in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and the book of Acts. Peter was a leader, and the Lord used him mightily. Let me give you a little bit of setting now as we begin reading through 1 Peter in the next couple minutes. In Rome, the writing takes place in Rome. Peter is writing to the Christians in Rome. And at this point in time, Rome is ruled by a ruler named Nero. Anybody ever heard of Nero? As a result, he points to the Christians and he says, the Christians started the fire. Now, this is important because it provides context, it provides understanding for what Peter is getting ready to address in his writings. Are you with me this morning? Make sure I'm not losing you all right out of the gate. But Nero, he starts a fire. 3/4 of the districts are burnt down to the ground, and he blames the Christians. And as a result, the Christians are left homeless and hopeless. And on the end of spears of physical persecution, not emotional persecution, millennials. And I'm a millennial. So I'm talking to my peers, because that's not really persecution. Sorry to break it to you, but it's not really the same thing. So these Christians are on the end of spears. They're being persecuted. They are homeless and hopeless. Their homes have been burned to the ground. Their family members have been killed. They've been put in distress. And persecution begins and continues for some time. And the church, listen to me, because I'm going to begin to shift here in just a second. The church is desperate for spiritual strength and spiritual nourishment. Now I'm going to pause because I'm going to begin to make sense out of some things and bring to you 1 Peter in just a few minutes. I got to say this again because the church is desperate for spiritual strength and spiritual food. And what Peter does is he recognizes that the church doesn't need inspiration. The church doesn't need another song. The church doesn't need to be entertained. The church needs meat. Because they are desperate for the ministry of the truth of God. I didn't say they were curious. They were desperate. Now you see a picture of Peter in the church that he's writing to, desperate, straining, crying out for answers and hope in the person of Jesus, who's already come and given his life as ransom. We're going to read in just a second, but I want to tell you what this book addresses, because this is where it gets good. Peter doesn't respond by inspiring them. He doesn't water it down, and he doesn't say it's going to be easy. He gives them the truth. And I'm here to tell you that this series, this preaching series this summer, is going to be meat on the bones. It is not going to be, here's a little bit of inspiration, God bless you, we'll see you next week. I am here to tell you that the church that is desperate for the strength of God, the Spirit of God, and crying out for the power of God in their life will respond to the words that are spoken through this rock solid series. And I hope you'll be part of that. I'm praying that you'll be part of that, not in ear and listening, but in spirit and in doing and follow through of the messages. I've been praying that for you now for several weeks. And Peter addresses how to live victoriously amidst persecution. Let me say it again. How to live amidst persecution. Not how to complain to the government to fix the persecution. I'll keep going because I don't think you were ready for that meat. Peter addresses how to live in a world energized by demons and how to overcome their attacks. Come on, somebody. He's talking to the people who are desperate for strength, are not hungry and curious for inspiration and convince me Jesus is real. No, they're saying, I need some meat on the bones, Pastor Peter. Peter's going to bring in this letter the truth. The rock solid bedrock of truth for every believer that the blessings of God far outweigh the costs. Now let me just say this again, because I can't stress this enough, but it's worth repeating. Peter is going to make sure the reader understands the blessings of serving God far outweigh the costs. And I'm here to tell you that if you don't think serving Jesus will cost you something, we're not serving the same Jesus. In fact, I'm even going to go so far as to say this. I've had so many conversations with people and they say, Pastor, does God really say that I need to tithe? Does God really need my money? No, God doesn't need a thing, but he wants your heart. And I'll tell people, yeah, the Bible does talk about tithing. If you follow Jesus, you're going to talk about money. Sorry, but Jesus addresses money more than any other topic in the New Testament. And we don't even talk about it as the big church. I'm here to tell you that this series is going to address some meat on the bones of our fellowship with Jesus. And I'm here to profess to you right out of the gate, I'm not going to apologize asking for 10%, because Jesus isn't asking for 10%. He's asking for 100%. I just burst your bubbles. And if all you're giving is 10%, he doesn't have your heart. You say, He just wants my money. No, I haven't talked about money in 2 years. And this isn't a series on money. But I'm here to tell you, if you are a follower of Jesus and you're not living with an open hand to give back to the Lord, you're not following the same Jesus I'm following. Because he says you need an open heart and an open hand. And what I've given, I can take away. Let's live with open hands, church. Let's live with God gives and he gives so that I can give, not so that I can store up in my storehouse. That's a different message for a different day. But turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 and 2. Is anybody ready for the word this morning? I'm ready. I am ready. I've been praying about this for weeks. I'm so excited to bring you the word of God. I'm going to interject and provide my own commentary and just talking points as I read through the word this morning, as you know I do, but I believe it will bless you. These are in your notes. Some of this is in your notes as well if you want to follow along. But now Peter begins to write. This letter is from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and I am writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. God the Father knew you and chose you, say with me, chose you long ago, and his spirit has made you holy. And as a result, you have obeyed him and been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace. And I want to interject myself and just say this right out of the gate. God chose you. I don't care what team you're playing for in the past. If you're in here today hearing the words of Jesus Christ, he has chosen you and given you an opportunity to use a small measure of faith to respond to the good news of Jesus and say, I'm going to play for that team now. God has chose you. You need to know God is asking you today, who am I? And the words that follow that question that proceed from our mouths direct and redirect the remainder of our lives. Just like they did with Peter. God is asking this morning, who am I? Who do you say I am, Paul? And I either respond with, you are something that you're not, or you are the God of all things. And there is no in between. I'm here to tell you this morning that God chose you and he wants you to be in his side, on his team. We don't belong here. We are not living for anything that this life has to offer. We are living for an eternal home in heaven. And we're going to read this in just a second because it's what he's addressing in the letter. We are living for the life to come. We are foreigners on this planet when we walk in the faith and the understanding of Jesus Christ. We don't belong here. So don't be surprised when people say, you're just not like everybody I know. And Peter's reminding the church in a desperate time, don't try to belong. Know who you are. And I'm here to declare to Bear Creek Church this morning, stop trying to fit in. Know whose you are. We don't belong here. We are foreigners. Let's keep reading in verse 3. Peter continues to write, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy. Say with me, mercy. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again. When you know Jesus, you are born again in spirit. Not in body, but in spirit. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And now we live with great expectation. Say expectation. Say it again. Now we live. Not then, now we live, because we know we are foreigners. Now we live with great expectation. Now we live with great expectation. And we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. I am here to tell you that we are foreigners, but I'm also here to tell you that we live with expectation, not for this life, but for the life to come. God has promised. Oh my goodness. God has promised. Did you hear what I said? God has promised the followers of Jesus, the people who believe in Jesus, the foreigners in this life. He has promised us, you and me, an eternal life in heaven when we believe in him and live in a righteous way before him. We are foreigners in this life and we are to live with expectation. Now listen to me. If we don't live with expectation, we live for this present day. If we live with expectation on heavenly things, everything changes. If we aren't keeping Jesus front and center of our lives and front and center of this church, we are losing the race. I'm fired up. I'm giving you half of what I want to give you, and I'm fired up. We are to live with expectation. And Peter is telling the church, he is telling Bear Creek Community Church in 2018, remember what's coming. Live with expectation, but not on people, because people will let you down. Listen to me, church. Listen to me loud and clear. If you think I am your hope, it is a matter of time before you hate me. Because the person you idolize, you will then demonize when they let you down. We have got to fix our eyes on the author and the finisher of our faith, the person of Jesus Christ, and recognize, I don't belong here. This is temporary. Billy Graham said it. He said, look, heaven is my destination. This is just a place I'm passing through. And it's just a matter of time before God calls me home. And my hope and my expectation is in the reward of eternity. I'm telling you, believers, our reward is going to be better than anything we could ever ask or imagine. Do you remember what we've been talking about this year in 1 Corinthians 2:9? That no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and nobody has imagined what God has in store for those who love him. I'm here to tell you this morning that we can live Christians with expectation. And for those of you who I'm scaring who don't know Jesus, you can know whose you are today and live with that same expectation. You say, dude, you're weird. Yeah, I am. I'm a foreigner and I know it. I'm not trying to fit into your games of immorality that change like the wind. They change like fashion. I'm here to declare that I love you enough to tell you the truth. And the truth is the person of Jesus Christ. That is not a concept or a set of rules or religions. It is the person of Jesus. And Peter is reminding, church, you don't belong here. Live with expectation. Shall we keep going? We're going to read now verse 5 through 9. I love preaching. Sorry. Peter continues. Verse 5, I'm just going to pick up there. And through your faith, through your what? Faith. Through your faith. Through your faith, without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's the only virtue listed that we must have to please God. So Peter's reminding us, through your faith. Now I'm pausing here intentionally, and I know I'm a good teaser. And you're like, keep it going, Paul, keep it going here. The reason I stop here is because it's not through your academic pursuits. It's not through your intellectual capacity. It's not through your giving. Pastor told me to include that this morning, so if you didn't like it, you can email him. Verse 5, and through your faith, God is protecting you. Come on, somebody. You want protection? Believe in Jesus. I don't have time. I don't have time, Sheldon. I know you want me to preach, but I can't do it. God is protecting you by his power. I haven't even finished the sentence. Until you receive the salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. It is through faith that God is protecting you by his power. I pause to remind you that Peter wrote to a people who were being speared to death, homeless and hopeless, and said, stop looking at your circumstance. to determine God's faithfulness and power in your life. Oh, dear God. We have strayed from that gospel message as far as the east is from the west. We've got books about how much God will bless you. Pastors are preaching and selling to make money to tell you that once you serve Jesus, everything will be dandy. I'm here to tell you, church, praise God if your life is dandy. But if your life isn't dandy, get in line. Because God's telling us that it's by faith, through His power, that He will save us. Our life circumstance does not dictate God's faithfulness. Let me say it again. What we are experiencing is not an indication of God's faithfulness. It is part of the fire and the testing and the tribulation to see if our faith will stand on the last day. And I'm getting ready to prove it to you in just a second. So verse 6, he says, so be truly glad, you who are homeless and hopeless and dying. Be truly glad about that, church. There is a wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. Woo! Oh, guys. I hope only six of you aren't getting what I'm laying down right here. Because this is for a desperate people. I don't need to be inspired for 3 minutes, Pastor Paul. I don't need to be inspired to feel like I should read my Bible tomorrow. I don't need to be inspired to want to pray for 8 seconds this week. I need the Word of God and its authority and its power and nothing else. Well, you're getting it this morning. Verse 7, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. Come on. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. Can't be living for gold. It's all going to burn. It's all going to be melted away. The only thing that will remain is our faith, and it will be tested as gold is through the crucible of fire, where all the impurities melt away and only the raw gold remains. Our faith and our life is going to be the exact same way before God. The trials burn away the impurities. Let me translate. When your life sucks, and it will, God is pruning you of things you don't really need. That's what Peter's writing. You don't need a home. What will I look like to my neighbors? God doesn't care. He wants your faith. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. And I got to just say this. Because you can put memes up on Instagram, you're going to be really disappointed. The reward for our faith is nothing in this life except the presence of God and what He deems fit to give and bless us. The reward for our faith, Bear Creek Church, is eternity in heaven. And I'm here to remind you that when a desperate people call out to God, they don't get tricks. They don't get little trinkets and little things to inspire them. They get the meat of the presence of God. And I'm here to tell you, if we as a people will humble ourselves and call on the name of the Lord Jesus and turn from our sin, yes, sin, and say, heal our hearts, Father. He'll reward us with His presence, and our faith will grow, and nothing else will matter, and we'll look ridiculous to the world. But that's okay, because we don't belong. We're foreigners. We're passing through. Sometimes we just need to be reminded. Fix your eyes on Jesus. My heart is so full in hope. I've been praying for you this week, for weeks, for this word, that it would find soft soil in the hearts of the church. I'm not trying to entertain the church. I'm trying to remind us that there's a living God. And he says, your lifestyle matters to me. And I want you to live with an open hand to bless those around you. And you're not going to belong. My plan isn't for you to belong in this world, Paul Earwood. My plan is for you to live by faith in Jesus so you can have your reward. Where did we lose sight of the foundation, the bedrock, the rock solid truth and promise of Jesus? To think that Christians should be the world, but a little different. No! We're not meant to be like the world, Pastor Chris. We're meant to be light in a dark place. That means we look different. Full of the power of God. And I can't preach any other gospel. Sorry for the sniffles. I can't wipe my nose. Hands are full. Oh, I hope you're receiving this morning. I've got no clue what time it is. Woo! Let me finish reading up the text here this morning. Verse 8, I believe, is where we are. And you love him. Remember, Peter's writing to the church. You love him. They're referring to Jesus. He's referring to Jesus. You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him. Oh, come on. Does that sound like us today, Sheldon? We've never met Jesus, but you better believe we're trusting in his words. You better believe that I'm believing for a better life to come in eternity than this one, and I've got it good now. But I'm not living for this life. I'm not doing it. You love him even though you have never seen him, though you do not see him now, you trust him, and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. We rejoice in joy. The expectation of the things to come. In verse 9, the reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. Our reward is salvation. This salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about when they prophesied about this gracious salvation prepared for you. Verse 11, they wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's suffering and his great glory afterwards. Verse 12, they were told that their messages were not for themselves, but for you. And now this good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is all so wonderful. It is all so wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. I want to say, for the sake of time, two very quick points here. I am sorry about the sniffles. Heaven is watching. See, before Jesus came, Son, to this earth, that we might receive life in him by faith, trusting that he is our salvation plan towards heaven. And now that he's been sent, which we just read about, that the prophets prophesied about, now that he's been sent, heaven is watching. Heaven is watching to see how we live because it knows the truth. Heaven is watching us, church. God is watching us. He's waiting to see, first of all, what do we say when the question is asked, who do you think I am? God's asking you this morning, who do you think I am? What are you going to say? Heaven is watching. God's on alert. The Bible tells us that there's celebration when one person... Come on. The Bible says that heaven throws a party when one person turns from death to life. I'm telling you, heaven is watching because they know the truth and they're waiting to see who else is going to be saved from the fire. Stupid watch. Let me just throw this thing out. Would you stand with me all over the house? We are foreigners. Live with expectation. Heaven and salvation are the reward for this life. Did you hear what I said? It's not a new car. It's not promotion. Don't limit God's goodness to those qualities in your life. It's not better intimacy with your spouse. It's none of those things. It's the reward of salvation of our souls. And heaven's watching. I'm going to ask the